Oh, yeah. Look at that. Happy Monday, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. It is lovely, lovely to be here with you on a Monday morning, July 8th. And it's just great. It's great. I've been here for a while. I got here at 4 today. That's what I do when I have to host solo because the big guy, Benny Higgins, is off in Santa Barbara. And we will talk about his trip, I'm sure, more tomorrow when he returns to the studio. But we have an amazing picture that he sent us yesterday. We can talk about that in a moment. But hope everybody had a great long weekend. If you got a chance to have a long weekend, I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. I did miss you guys, though. I did. It was a little bit too... I always like one day too long is how it usually feels for me with this job. At least I like to be here. I like to talk to you guys. I like to talk baseball with my brothers and, like to talk with all you guys as well. But I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. And today he will be the co-host of the program, at least for a little while. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
How was the weekend?
Weekend was good.
I got to see you yesterday.
Yeah. Big statement win. For the Tier 1 summer baseball team.
Tier 1 summer baseball league kicked off yesterday with a resounding 24-1 win. That was
that'll play.
That was that'll work. A lot of people don't like playing those big blowout games. As the skipper, player, manager of the team, I do. I like it. It makes my job extremely easy.
Start with a little seventh spot
in the first, and you're like, all right, who wants to pitch? You ever play third? Go try some third. It's a little different than what Mike Schilt has to deal with. Mike Schilt yesterday in a 24-1. Now, the other team walked off after five. They didn't walk off, but they said, hey, we're done. It's hot. We're obviously not going to come back. In a 24-1 fifth inning game for the San Diego Padres, I would bet money that Robert Suarez would still have to get up and get
hot. I was just going to ask, if you 100 times had a 24-1 lead in the fifth inning, how many times do the Padres need to get Robert Suarez
I'd up? Say 65% of the time. He's up like, are you joking? You're joking. All right, time to get heated up. I mean, sweet Jesus, man. Sweet Jesus.
Our all-star closer.
Yeah, we Bob will get into all of the all-star... All-star selections,
now,
and there
Mike
are five.
Schilt doesn't have to deal with, if he ever has a 24-1 lead in the fifth inning, is guy gets on first base and the opposing first baseman says, hey, you know, we're probably going to just call it after this last inning.
And I wonder if they allowed that in the game of baseball, if they allowed that, I bet you more teams would take it. I mean, if it's one of those 18-2s and it's in the it's in the fourth inning and you're like, bro, I don't want to burn bullpen. You don't want to burn bullpen.
You don't want to get anybody hurt. Wouldn't you rather just get out of there than throw your backup left fielder for two innings?
And right now, you know, there's somebody. My guess is they're, you know, older than me that is like, you never quit. You never back down. There was this one game in 1947 when the Cleveland Spiders went out and beat. Okay, fine. Like, maybe you're right. But in this day and age, with a team like this in, you know, essentially a pennant race and battling for a playoff spot. Yeah, man, if it's 18-1, let's call it a day, bro.
Yeah. Either way.
If I'm winning, if I'm losing, right, yeah. I mean, but yeah, you know, Bob Suarez would have, if he was a tier one yesterday, we would have had to get him hot. That's just the way that it's been going for the Padres lately. We'll talk about the bullpen woes and talk about a lot, man. We got a lot of stuff to cover today. But other than relaxing, Paulie, what did you guys get up to this weekend, you and Megan?
Not a whole lot. We stayed in on the 4th of July and just cooked dinner at the house.
Protected your pets?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gnarly.
Yeah, it sucks. They were fine. We have a big, like, AC unit that goes, you know, the vents out the window in our bedroom. That thing's pretty loud, so we just turned that thing on, cooled the room down. Dogs couldn't hear the boomies going around the neighborhood, but it wasn't too bad in Escondido. You heard a couple of idiots at like midnight.
Yeah. Scares the crap out of you.
And then like it's like July 6th and they're still lighting them off.
Yeah.
Like, all right. We get it. It's 10 o'clock on July 7th. Probably don't need any more of those.
No, I get it.
So that was annoying. But other than that, yeah, just kind of, you know, it's been like a sick ward in my house for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So we're both finally like coming out of it and feeling better. And so we just kind of relaxed and went for a drive on Saturday night, listened to the end of the game, Jesse and Tony.
Yep.
And that's about it.
We did a little staycation with the kids just one night.
Want to hear about the drone show.
At the hotel, went to see a drone show, which was great. It was really cool. They did the American flag and drones. They did like the California bear. They did the logo of the hotel. I mean, it was cool. Like,
are we at the point where would anybody complain if we replaced firework shows with drones?
So I was thinking as I was watching,
they're awesome.
As I was watching the drone show, we laid there and the kids were problem was it was only 15 minutes, so it was like 8:15 to 8:30, and it was done. So as we walked back,
I think about it, like 10 years. I could see no fireworks shows and just drone shows. They're only going to get bigger and better.
They're sick. It was sick. I don't know. I mean, it's really incredible how they do it. And we went back to so as we were walking back to our hotel room, there's another hotel down the way that does a huge fireworks display. Of course, we stopped and sat there and gawked at it like we'd never seen fireworks when the kids were. Ooh. Yeah. Now, Bo is just like me. We watched it for 5 minutes. He's like, all right, that's it. I'm good. And starts walking back to the room. I'm like, you are identical, my son. Like, just, okay. All right, I got a good sense of it. I'm fine. We can move on.
Like, it was cool when you were able to go out and light your own fireworks.
Yes.
That added certainly a different element to it. But if we're just talking like, all right, we're going to park up on the hill and we're going to watch fireworks. I mean, you've seen one, you've seen them
all,
right?
You've seen one, you've seen them all. Now, we got back to the room and we put on the Big Bay Boom. And we watched that. And that looked pretty sick. Now, again, it was not sick enough for me to drag a chair down to the bay at 4 a.m.
on July 3rd.
And sit and rot for 18 straight hours just to see a fireworks show. I love my family. I don't love my family that much to do that. I do love them a lot. But I don't love them that much to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to do it. Don't ask me to drag a chair down there. And
I don't believe you.
I swear to God, I would.
Next year, if Bo and Taylor were like, all we want to do is go down to Coronado and sit there and watch the Big Bay Boom.
Bro, you would be surprised how often I tell them no. And I'll just look at them and go, I'm not doing it. It sucks. Sucks to suck.
Hey, I'm not going to. Yeah. So quit asking.
Get another dad. I'm not doing it, man. Like, I'm trying to even think of a scenario where if I had to take a chair somewhere for 18 hours, like, hey, if you do this, Dad, I get to go play baseball for free at a college, like, to get a scholarship, but that doesn't happen.
Yeah, how much are, how much tuition these days?
Paulie, I'm telling you, there's literally nothing they can ask me to do where I'm going to go down and be like, and just kill. I'm not joking when I say people were down there at 4 a.m., you know, like maybe even the day before. Like, there's just nothing. There is just nothing. I love them so much.
I mean,
I want to make them happy, but I don't care that much.
So you and I are similar in that we will absolutely spend money to avoid an inconvenience.
I will spend a fortune to enjoy an inconvenience.
So how about this? This is all assuming, like, if this is under the guise of Bo and Taylor, like, begging to go to the Big Bay Boom next year. Get a hotel on July 3rd.
100%. That I would do.
July 3rd and 4th.
In a heartbeat.
It's going to be expensive.
In a heartbeat.
Anywhere downtown will be, I got to imagine, is not cheap. But then you're there. You just walk over. It's going to be a huge crowd, but you're not driving through it. You don't have to worry about parking. I mean, bro, you could leave your hotel room at, like, 8 o'clock and go find a spot.
Bro, in a second. I mean, I think Hannah actually brought that up, and I was like, yeah, sounds good to me.
That's the move. If Big Bay Boom is high on your list, I would recommend that. Because I would rather pay that than sit in traffic. Like, I think he was reading me a traffic report. Like, Coronado Bridge is stopped, backed up all the way down the 5 to Chista or something. Like, they just weren't even moving.
Forget it, dude.
And if you're just sitting on that bridge, you're like, I haven't moved in 45 minutes.
That would kill me, man. Sitting on that bridge for that long would kill me.
God.
We actually just saw a message in the chat from Melimel. This is so sad. She says, my dog is gone because of the damn fireworks. And I had seen this last night, Melimel.
Oh, no.
San Diego Humane Society tweeted, we've had 136 stray animals come in since the July 4th holiday. Only 15 dogs have been reclaimed by their owners. If your pet is missing, text LOST to 858-SAN-LOST, like San Diego, S-A-N, LOST. 858-SAN-LOST, or visit sdhumane.org/lostpet. They're waiving any reclaim fees. I guess that was yesterday. But take a look there at the Humane Society if you haven't already. I'm so sorry. Oh, so she, dog was out and got hit by a car. Not, she didn't lose it. She lost it. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, God.
I am so sorry. It is just the worst. So, yeah, I think the drone show would be best for everyone. Such a bummer, man. Such a bummer. Yeah, we had one little.
Thanks for that uplifting note.
Well, I mean, you know, I was thinking about it, Paulie, before the show started, there was one commercial that ran right before the show started, and it was about doo-doo and stools and diarrhea, explosive diarrhea and oily stools. And I just thought to myself, this is the last thing I hear before I crack the mic.
Yes. If you listen to our show on the radio, yeah, especially, maybe on the app, sometimes there are different commercials that run on the app versus in your car radio. But for sure, if you're in your car, 5:59 every single morning.
Every morning.
It's oily stools.
Yeah, it's great.
Diarrhea.
Mm-hmm. It's fitting. It's fitting.
I mean, Adam, can we get any type of lead in?
It's fitting for the show, to be sure. Well, I'm so sorry to hear that, Melomel. It's so sad to lose a pup, man. I've lost a couple in the last couple of years to really traumatic circumstances, and it never gets easier. It really never does. But I'm very sorry. But if anybody else has, I guess, lost a pet where they escaped and you're looking for them, check out SD Humane Society. They do great, great work. Benjamin Higgins, as we mentioned, is in Santa Barbara.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Yeah. So we talked to him via text yesterday. When Benny's on vacation, I don't like to bother him very much.
No.
But he's so... He never, like, posts anything from vacation. And I have always told him, like, first of all, everything you post is good and funny. Right? Like, he's an interesting poster. And he doesn't do it enough. And I don't know why that is. Maybe he doesn't like to brag. Maybe he doesn't
He's
not embarrassed. It's a very bougie trip, though. You go to Santa Barbara, they're drinking fine wines and eating, you know, shanks of lamb and playing golf. I mean, it's the whitest vacation around. We say it every year. Like, it's really, really a white vacation. Like, he is, like, khakis, the whole thing, topsiders. So I texted him, and I'm like, he wants to talk about the Padres because that's what he does. He's like, oh, yeah, been watching the games. I go, oh.
Yeah, this man did not miss a pitch.
He did not miss one pitch. Know. Yeah, 100%. Did not miss a pitch. That's how dedicated he is. Yeah, he's texting us about the Pods.
Check out. It's okay.
And I go, I'm very disturbed by your lack of horseback pictures. I asked you for one thing. You lost, what, 40 pounds, 60 pounds, whatever. Because he always said, I don't want to ride the horse because I'm big. And I go, well, yeah, but you're not as big as you used to be. And trust me, they can handle it.
It's a 2,500-pound horse that Ben's worried about.
There were fat cowboys. I promise you, there were fat cowboys at some point in history. I know this to be true. There's husky. There were husky cowboys along the way.
Yes.
Those horses can handle just a nice little...
While they're carrying a cart.
Yeah, they're pulling a cart behind them and all your stuff. And then another horse is attached to them. Yes. They can handle it.
They'll be fine.
So I
still won't get on it.
He didn't get on it, but he did send us a picture. And I have so many observations. I tweeted it last night from my personal account, which is at the Stephen Woods. I think we retweeted it from at Ben and Woods. Paulie's putting it in the chat. So he's just there next to a fence, and he looks like he's having a conversation with this horse. He's petting the horse's head. It's the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing ever. But so I put it up on Twitter, and I said, hey, caption this post. And everyone just went nuts. And they're like, I like horses. I like horse hair. And then your wife goes, and that's how I made a birdie on hole 8 at Pinehurst. Now, on 9, you really want to play that dog leg left. So,
replaying
golf shots to the horse. But the one thing that everybody said in the chat is, why is he wearing his dad's clothes? He looks like, when I was in 8th grade, I wanted to go to a dance, and my dad was like, I'm not buying you a new suit. I've told this story. So I had to, like, wear some of his clothes. It was awful. It was terrible.
He's got the, Brooks Brothers blue checkered shirt.
Yep.
Navy blue sport coat.
Yep.
And then khaki pants.
Khaki pants that look three sizes too big. Now, because...
And what are those?
Because he's lost all the weight, but he won't go out and buy new clothes, which I thought if you drop the weight is like the first thing you do.
That's like the reward.
I just watched Nutty Professor over the week. I just watched it with my kids, and he runs in, and he's like, spandex, all spandex. Yeah. And he, you know, he's super excited. He will not go get his pants tailored or get new pants or get new shirts. He is a legend. Like, he's just such – he's such a dad. That's just a dad move. Like, why would I go? Like, you don't have to get rid of those. Maybe you balloon up again. You keep those clothes, but you just go buy new. I thought that was the whole point of, like, look how svelte I am now. Yeah. And you buy
put
all
in the work. I'm going to go reward myself.
All new gear.
That, at least get the birthday tailored.
November is his birthday. November 3rd. I want to take him, like, another Pretty Woman day and get him, like, some real new threads.
Yes.
Because he just refuses to do it. But he's a legend. He's there. He's playing with the horse. I think he's driving back this morning, but we miss Benny, certainly. We'll have some fun today, certainly. We got a big show planned for you. Going to be talking a lot of baseball, as we always do. Going to be hearing a lot of great baseball stories. I'll set the menu. I get to set the menu today for the program. We will be right back. It is Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Happy Monday to you. Benny is out. He will be back tomorrow. Hope he drives safely, gets home safely, well rested and recharged and full of Chablis and White Zinfandel and plenty of golf and khakis and everything else, man. I miss the big guy, certainly. But me and Paulie will be holding it down for you today. We got a good show, man.
It's weird not seeing you guys for like 4 days, five days.
Yeah, it is. It was weird. I got to see you yesterday. We played ball, but not seeing Ben, you know, he skedaddled. We all split up last week when we got out of here and had a nice long weekend. And of course, our beloved Sammy Levitt, you know, took one for the team and came in and hosted Friday when we were out. Now, I didn't hear any of his show. I did see people thanking Sammy Levitt for filling in for us and calling us slackers, but yeah. I'll wear it. My whole family slept in until 8 a.m., which is the first time that's happened in maybe ever, actually. It was really, really refreshing. And so it was nice, man. I'm very relaxed this morning. And I wish we had some better news to talk about in regards to the Padres. We do have some good news to talk about with Sammy Levitt. We moved him up. He's going to be at 7:35 this morning. And we got our pal Tim Flannery coming in at 8. And Flann is just somebody I love. I know he gets into it with people on Twitter. He has his very strong opinions. But that man, to me, is all heart and all soul, and I love him like a dad. I'm so fortunate I get to coach his grandson Jesse, and Jesse and Bo are really tight. We're really tight with his family. Like, I'll wear one for Flann any day of the week. Like, if you come after Flann, then you're coming after me. That's how I feel. I love him. He is my favorite coach I've ever had at fantasy camp. He's unbelievable. I got traded to his team. Couldn't have been happier. I learned so much in the short couple of days with him. He actually coached us out there instead of, all right, Tubby, go out and don't strike out, a.k.a. the Terry Kennedy move, right? Hey, fat ass, try not to swing and miss this time. Oh, thanks, TK. What a manager you are. Flann was on his knees hitting fungos at us. Like, he coached us. He was amazing. And, you know, even at 47 years old at the time, I really appreciated that because there's so much to learn about this game, and we're all still learning every single day. And he is just all heart and all soul.
And like you said, he's, you know, he can be a little crusty on social media.
Opinionated.
It's also tough to read tone.
Yeah, it is.
And know exactly how he's trying to say what he's going to say.
Sure.
But I'll just say this. Because I'm sure, I hope there's not too many of these people out there, but I'm sure there are people out there that are like, oh, I'm blocked by Flann, or I hate him for what he tweeted, three months ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
But we had him on at Fantasy Camp.
Legend.
And we had people reaching out. They're like, I wasn't sure about this guy based on his tweets.
Yeah.
That was so good. I loved hearing him talk and the stories and the wisdom that he has. So if you're one of those people, please tune in with an open mind.
Yeah, give him a shot.
I think he'll change your opinion.
When I see him anywhere, I'm sure it wears him out because I just beeline to him. And I'm like, stories. Tell me stories. Give me Tony Gwynn's stories. Give me all the stories that you have from back in the day. And of course, man, of course people are going to, the people that played the game for as long as he did and was around the game for as long as he did, they're going to have very strong opinions. Guess what? They've earned them. They've earned those opinions way more than I've earned mine, certainly. So, I will always defer. Doesn't mean I always agree with Flan, because I don't. I told him before. I don't agree with that. That's not how it is anymore. You know that. And we butt heads on it, but
like you can acknowledge that that's how it was.
That's the best.
While also saying that's not how it is anymore.
And that's the best part of this game that we all love so much. But Flan will come in. He told me a story. I was at his granddaughter's birthday a couple weeks ago. He told me a story. He's like, I can tell it on the air, but I'm going to have to omit some stuff. I'm like, he told me like, the whole thing, and I was like, yeah, don't say that, but tell the rest of it. Tell the rest of that story, Flan.
I just hope my man gets some coffee on his way in this morning. He's probably waking up and getting ready to head on down here.
Yep.
He'll be here at 8 o'clock. And yeah, he was telling us yesterday that he had a show. His band played at the Belly Up last night. And when I texted him to confirm and give him some directions on how to get to the studio, he goes, playing tonight at the Belly Up. Going to be coming in fresh off of zero sleep.
I don't know that he sleeps much anyway. I really don't. He's kind of a wired guy.
Yeah.
He is all energy.
I love him so much.
I do too, man. I just adore him. And I'm excited for you guys to hear some of the stories and just talk baseball with, you know, in my opinion, the heart and soul of some of those old Padre teams for sure. Fan favorite, certainly. Obviously went to the Giants. Didn't want to. Didn't have a choice, you know, at some point. But
do you think, is that fair for any Padres fan to be a little conflicted that
yeah.
he played his whole career for the Padres, but then went off and coached with Bochy and won three rings
wasn't
with
his
a
choice.
Division rival?
Wasn't like, his choice. Yeah.
It doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me.
I'm obviously biased.
People need jobs. You know, people need jobs and people want to work and continue in the game. And you know, he did it with great success, and he's got, you know, three rings to show for it, which is pretty incredible. I want to ask him about all of it, man. Coaching third base. I know our current third base coach, Tim Leeper, he was catching a lot of grief earlier in the season. It's a really hard gig. It's a really, really hard gig. So I want to ask him, you know, what goes into that? I asked him about Leeper. He goes, oh, he's fantastic. And I didn't get the sense that it was like, well, you know, I was third base coach. He's like, no, bro, he's a good one. He knows what he's doing. He puts in the work. The work that those guys have to put in is actually pretty staggering. It's
like
more than
Schilt with a bullpen decision.
Yeah.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, of course.
If you send him and he scores, it was a great send.
Right.
If you send him and he doesn't score,
yeah, you're an
idiot.
It
was a terrible send.
Yeah, you're an idiot, man. he's great. So he's coming in. He'll be here at 8 or thereabouts.
Eight-ish.
And but yeah, man, I want to talk next about obviously what's been going on out at Petco Park. You know, again, I think I'll leave you guys with this before we go to break. It's okay to be disappointed with the last two nights for sure, the last 2 days for sure. It's also okay to be excited if you're a San Diego Padres fan right now. It is. It's the past. It's all right to be excited. You're okay to be excited about the All-Stars, the five All-Stars that are going to be representing our city and our team. I think that's a big deal, and we should celebrate that. But I think it's also very okay to be concerned about the bullpen blow up this weekend and be concerned about maybe a lack of options, you know, in some close games and not being able to get the job done a couple times. And, you know, honestly, if you think about it, man, we were one really, really fortunate inning away from being swept by the Arizona Diamondbacks. You know, we needed those games and we didn't get them. So
I know we'll talk about Friday's show, but I just cannot harp it enough. We always mention it. Walk-off wins are awesome.
They're the best. Not sustainable.
But most of the time...
Most of the time you screwed up.
It means something really bad happened. And when Robert Suarez has to come into the game with a 7-2 lead in the ninth inning,
yeah,
that's a bad thing.
It's a bad
that's
thing.
That's not okay.
It's a bad thing inherently, and it's not sustainable.
The end result. Love the dub.
I know Mike Schilt would want that to change. If he had one wish, he would say, I want our bullpen to be better right now. He won't say it. I'll say it for him. He will not say it, I promise you. But I will say it. He wants our bullpen to be better. We all do. And especially those guys in the bullpen do as well. So we'll get into all that. And, yeah, unfortunately, man, I was thinking, Man, do we have to play the losing montage? And after two in a row, I feel like we do. It's coming up next.
Ben just once. Can they win on a Sunday?
It's been since May 24th. The last win was May 24th. Six Mondays in a row we've come in here talking about a Padres L. We'll do it again next for you here on Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. On a Monday morning talking about, we've had a few days off. And since we were gone, Padres won some. And they lost some. And they almost won some. Man. This team is really, really something. They are really, really something to watch on a nightly basis. And, you know, here we go. Tonight's off night tonight, Paulie. And then the Mariners. Got the Mariners who's got good starting pitching. I mean, it's
2-game set.
These days off are great and obviously needed, but I don't like them at all. I hate them, in fact. But I do understand the importance of them. And right now, I think our bullpen is in need of maybe more than some days off right now.
They're going to see Logan Gilbert and Bryce Miller.
Yeah, some good arms. Going to miss George Kirby. But yeah, their offense isn't much to write home about. But, you know, listen, I think the plan, if you're playing the San Diego Padres right now, is get into the bullpen, and you're going to have a shot because they are much maligned right now. We'll talk about the numbers and all that, but first we'll do our Padres wrap-up. You know what's coming.
It's a shame. It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the pump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
2-1 hit hard in the air to right field and deep. Peralta kind of twisting around to watch. This one going to go just over the old wall in right field. A leadoff home run for Corbin Carroll, and the Diamondbacks take a 1-0 lead here in the first. Steps back, kicks, and deals. And Jurickson hits it in the air to deep right field. Carroll's going back. He's going to watch, and it's going to go. Home run right over the fence in right field. So a leadoff homer in the top of the inning for Corbin Carroll, a one-out homer for Profar in the bottom of the inning, and a 1-1 game here in the first. 1-1 to Suarez. Not running. That one's hit in the air to left field and deep. Profar's back at the wall. Gonna go. First row, right over the fence in left field. A two-run homer for Eugenio Suarez, his second hit of the day. And the Diamondbacks now lead it 3-1. Moreno 0-for-3 here today. Pitch coming, and he muscles that one into shallow left field. It'll drop down, and a base hit. Newman on to score, and an RBI single for Gabriel Moreno. The Arizona lead now 4-1. 0-2, and Suarez lifts it in the air to left center field. Profar was over towards the line. He's not going to be able to get it, and it will two-hop up against the wall. Walker scores easily. McCarthy right behind him. Perdomo on his way. He will score. A base is clearing double for Eugenio Suarez, and the Diamondbacks have broken it open 7-1 here in the ninth. 3-2, sent in the air to left center again. Profar, long run, going back, still going back. He is at the wall. This one bounces in front of the fence and then hops over the wall. A rule book double for Alec Thomas. Suarez will come in to score, and it's 8-1 here in the ninth. Here's the 2-1. Carroll grounds it sharply to second base. Long flip for one. On to first is in time. And a 4-6-3 double play. Thomas comes in to score from third base. And the Diamondback lead is now 9-1. But the Padres get a couple of much-needed outs. A one hit in the air to right field. Pretty well struck. Carroll back towards the corner. Kind of zigzagging over. Gets to the spot on the warning track to make the catch. And the ball game is over. The Diamondbacks come to town. They take 2 out of 3. And they will leave happy after a 9-1 win here this afternoon.
He was really commanding. He had a really good life on his ball today. Threw the ball very well. But he also was throwing it where he wanted to. Secondary pitches were effective as well. But his fastball had a real giddy up today, and he was able to throw it where he wanted. I didn't see Moreno having to move around a whole lot, so he made a lot of quality pitches with good stuff.
Sounds like cap tipping to me from the skipper, Mike Shildt. Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do? Some days you have to do that. Ryan Nelson typically is not the guy that you need to tip your cap to, but he was yesterday. And, give him credit for coming in and absolutely dominating our beloved San Diego Padres, who managed to eke out four hits in yesterday's rubber match. You hate winning the first game of the season or the first game of the series in such a dramatic fashion, having to come back and win it. It was really special Friday night. We'll talk about Friday night's game, but you know, you got close on Saturday. Okay, fine. To come out yesterday and just get crushed 9-1 was that. Those are those games, those Sunday games where it's like, oh, cool. Now again, you almost understand it. If they win Friday night in dramatic fashion, they find a way to win that game on Saturday night, Paulie. You almost kind of get it. Hey, we won the series. We're going to, you know, get some guys off their feet. No, man, you needed to win that series yesterday. I mean, these are important games. Diamondbacks still hanging around.
Division opponent.
They're still hanging around.
At home. You want to win that series.
Yeah, man. And you didn't. You got bodied yesterday. And, you know, I need to give a shout-out to really the starting pitchers in this series. They all did their job, right? Nothing super spectacular, but everybody did their job. I mean, Vasquez went 6 1/3 on Friday night. Waldron had another quality start, 6 innings, 3-run ball from Matt Waldron. And Dylan Cease looked really, really good yesterday. Again, when you score one run, it's really hard to expect these guys to be perfect. Now, the bullpen really showed their ass in this series. They really did. They only had to throw 8 1/3 innings in this weekend series. Randy went 6, Waldron went 6, Cease went 7. You can't ask for more from your starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And they had been, you know, they had had their turn on the chopping block as they had not been giving any length. They start to give length, the bullpen falters. They allowed 16 runs, Paulie, in the 8 1/3 innings that they threw. That ERA is 17-20. Daniel De Los Santos, it looks as lost as anybody I've ever seen. Gave up 5 earned runs in 1 2/3. Austin Davis gave up 4 in 1 inning of work. It's really, really tough. Now you go to a guy like Wandy Peralta. So he is a guy we gave a 4-year deal to. 32-year-old reliever. Kind of used him early on as like a setup man. But, Paulie, in his last 7 outings, his last 7 outings, he's got a 5.06 ERA. In his last 15, his ERA is 7.36. He's pitched only 11 innings in those last 15 appearances. It's really, really rough. Now, he made 63 appearances for the Yankees last year, 56 the year before. He's already appeared in 40 games. So is it overused? I'm telling you, when I watch the Padres play and I try to put myself in the skipper's shoes, it gives me heartburn. And I try to think, and you always see it on Twitter, oh, why would you go to him there? And it's like, well, who else? I mean, Robert Suarez cannot throw every single inning of high leverage that you need. Morejon has been pretty good. His ERA in his last 7 is 2.45, 2.93 in his last 15, 2.33 in his last 30. He's developed into somebody that you can use for high leverage. For some reason, though, they're really not willing to, like, there was a, I think it was on Saturday night, he came out, threw like 12 pitches, got out of it, and then they didn't go to him again. I think they went to Wandy, and we ended up losing the game.
Yeah.
But even Steven Kolek is pitching better. Yuki Matsui, he's been fine in low leverage. So Jeremiah Estrada has been a bright spot. He's got a 2.45 in his last 7. Kolek's 3-0 with a 0 ERA in his last 7 games. So, yeah. Some of those guys, they're just overworked. They're overtaxed right now and really ineffective. And that's not a good combination. So it was a really, really bad look for the bullpen this week. You got to get that thing on track. Hopefully, you know, by yesterday's game, when you look at the usage yesterday, you never, once you get down 4 or 5 runs, you're like, all right, well, this is Eniel's game and Austin Davis's game. You know, those guys are the only bullpen arms that pitched on Sunday. So you should have a fresh bullpen coming into the series against Seattle. But who's on the bump? It's Adam Mazur. What's he going to give you?
Allegedly,
Adam Mazur.
Schultz said yesterday that they're still waiting to make an official announcement.
So that brings us to the other news of the weekend. And I want to, you know, he's obviously not listening, but, you know, I want to offer our support, love, condolences to starting pitcher Yu Darvish. We don't really know what's going on with Yu Darvish right now, other than he is on the restricted list. He had asked to be put on the restricted list because of a personal matter. I saw a lot of theories being floated around. I think it's irresponsible for us to speculate. I did see some speculation that kind of made my stomach turn, you know, from the usual suspect. And I just thought to myself, man, it just doesn't feel right to even think about anything. All I know, though, is what was the update in AC's newsletter this morning about it?
Kevin AC wrote in his daily newsletter, it's called Hoping for You, and he says, virtually everything the Padres say suggests they expect starting pitcher Yu Darvish to return this season. That may be more hope than expectation, because it is also said to be up to Darvish whether or not he comes off the restricted list, which he was placed on Saturday while he attends to a personal matter. But the team could know in a matter of weeks whether he is returning, as they would like to have clarity before the July 30th trade deadline about whether they will be paying him the rest of this season. Darvish is owed about $7 million for the rest of the season. Players on the injured list are not paid.
Okay, so
I don't know if that has to do with the restricted list as well.
So yeah, I mean, obviously, it's you have to talk about the business of baseball. Now, these guys are humans. Things go on in their personal life. I don't know what it is. I do know that Yu Darvish earned respect. He has earned benefit of the doubt, in my opinion. Would I love to have Yu Darvish back healthy 100% pitching like Yu Darvish? Of course. I'm a Padres fan. We need him. We want him. We love him. That being said, man, life does get in the way sometimes. And so whatever it is that he's going through right now, yeah, I mean, he does have a responsibility to let the Padres know, I can't come back this year. I'm not coming back. And that in and of itself, you know, that's okay. I think you just need to know so that you can adjust accordingly.
And that's fair for the Padres to want to know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's 100% fair for Darvish to, yeah. There's times where I get it. Fans, the fan base, they want transparency.
Sure.
They want to know every detail of everything going on with their favorite team. And I get that. But there are times, and this is one of those times, where we don't need to know. They have the paternity leave. That means you. That's telling you, the fan, hey, he's having a baby.
Having a baby.
He's going to be off for a couple. They have the leave for, is it grieving or what do they call it?
Hell is it
you
called?
Know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, grieving leave.
Grieving leave. You know, that, okay.
We just made that up.
Somebody died. They're going to be off for a couple of days dealing with some family stuff. We know that. That's all we need to know. When they put him on the restricted list and say, that's all we're saying, that's a personal matter. And it doesn't matter why he's gone.
Yeah.
Your only response should be thinking about him, man.
Yeah.
Hoping for the best.
Bereavement.
Okay.
The bereavement list. Yes.
Thank
and you.
You
know what happens when you're on the bereavement list. So I just, Brandon asked in the chat, you know, does that money he's not being paid decrease the luxury tax? Could they have more flexibility with spending at the trade? I think the answer is yes, based on what Kevin said.
AC said, yeah, Darvish is owed about $7 million for the rest of the season. The Padres have about $12 million in room under the first CBT threshold, which they have vowed to stay under to avoid a substantial penalty. This is not to say that they would commit anywhere close to $19
million,
right, if you factored in use 7 for any players they acquire, but they would need to add an additional starting pitcher beyond the one that they already seek if Darvish is not returning. Their preference is to have Darvish back, but knowing he won't, would create them some options.
Yeah, they would have a little bit of flexibility there. Obviously, a roster spot, you know, that you could fill. Again, it's just you don't see many guys beating down the door, ready to make their debuts and pitch meaningful innings for this team down the stretch. I'm so nervous about this team, and I think that's a justified feeling. I'm just nervous because when is the last time we have seen a team that has, I guess what you would call, this much magic so far this season? And again, I there's people rolling their eyes about saying a team that's 49 and 45 is magical. But if you've watched every game, bro, with the exception of a few games here and there, you feel like they're in it and they have a shot. And whatever is going on in the water at Petco Park and everywhere else that they play, there is magic on this team, and they are finally playing like a team. They are rooting for each other like a team. You don't get selfish vibes that you've seen before. We asked a question on the roundtable, you know, a month or so ago, and I think Ben asked the question, does this team need to prove something for AJ to go out and make moves? Now, AJ's always going to be active. He's always looking to improve the roster. You can love him, you can hate him. He's always actively looking to improve. Have they earned it? My answer is unequivocally yes. Yeah. They have earned a shot this year. This team, maybe more so than any team we've ever covered here. Is that a bold statement? I don't feel like it is.
No, I think that they
deserve a shot.
It's a little bit of both. It's partly because the National League is a dumpster fire.
It is a dumpster fire.
Padres, by the way, hottest team in the National League.
Correct. One of three that are 6-4 in their last 10.
Right.
It's them, the Cardinals, and the Diamondbacks.
Those are the three hottest teams in the National League.
Everybody
right
else is 5-5 or 4-6.
Yeah, it's not good, but that's one factor. And then the Padres also are playing like they deserve to make a push and be in the playoffs.
I'm telling you.
I just hate the idea, though, of them getting into the dance and then just getting bodied because they don't have the arms.
The arms.
It happens every year. Every time the Padres have made the playoffs.
They deserve the right. They have played hard enough. They've played together enough. They've played well enough.
Like, even when the rotation's healthy, they haven't had enough arms.
Yep.
They're like three guys down right now.
At least, man. At least. So, holy smokes, man. A lot more to talk about. We got Sammy Levitt coming up at 7:35. We can talk more about this. We don't have Take on Woods today, but we will qualify someone. We'll just take your call. You want to shoot the breeze about the Padres, you can call us 833-288-0973. Let's hear from you guys. Welcome back, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. On a Monday morning, talking about, we've had a few days off, and since we were gone, Padres won some, and they lost some, and they almost won some. Man, this team is really, really something. They are really, really something to watch on a nightly basis. And, you know, here we go. Tonight's off night tonight, Paulie, and then the Mariners. Got the Mariners, who's got good starting pitching. I mean, it's
two games set.
These days off are great and obviously needed, but I don't like them at all. I hate them, in fact, but I do understand the importance of them. And right now, I think our bullpen is in need of maybe more than some days off right now.
They're going to see Logan Gilbert and Bryce Miller.
Yeah, some good arms. Going to miss George Kirby. But yeah, their offense isn't much to write home about. But, you know, listen, I think the plan, if you're playing the San Diego Padres right now, is get into the bullpen, and you're going to have a shot because they are much maligned right now. We'll talk about the numbers and all that, but first we'll do our Padres wrap-up. You know what's coming.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
2-1 hit hard in the air to right field and deep. Peralta kind of twisting around to watch. This one going to go just over the old wall in right field. A leadoff home run for Corbin Carroll. And the Diamondbacks take a 1-0 lead here in the first. Steps back, kicks, and deals. And Jurgensen hits it in the air to deep right field. Carroll's going back. He's going to watch. And it's going to go. Home run right over the fence in right field. So a leadoff homer in the top of the inning for Corbin Carroll, a one-out homer for Profar in the bottom of the inning, and a 1-1 game here in the first. 1-1 to Suarez. Not running. That one's hit in the air to left field and deep. Profar's back at the wall. Gonna go. First row, right over the fence in left field. A two-run homer for Eugenio Suarez, his second hit of the day. And the Diamondbacks now lead it 3-1. Moreno 0 for 3 here today. Pitch coming, and he muscles that one into shallow left field. It'll drop down, and a base hit. Newman on to score, and an RBI single for Gabriel Moreno. The Arizona lead now 4-1. 0-2, and Suarez lifts it in the air to left center field. Profar was over towards the line. He's not going to be able to get it, and it will two-hop up against the wall. Walker scores easily. McCarthy right behind him. Perdomo on his way. He will score. A bases clearing double for Eugenio Suarez, and the Diamondbacks have broken it open 7-1 here in the ninth. 3-2, sent in the air to left center again. Profar, long run, going back, still going back. He is at the wall. This one bounces in front of the fence and then hops over the wall. A rule book double for Alec Thomas. Suarez will come in to score, and it's 8-1 here in the ninth. Here's the 2-1. Carroll grounds it sharply to second base. Long flip for one on to first. Is in time. And a 4-6-3 double play. Thomas comes in to score from third base. And the Diamondback lead is now 9-1. But the Padres get a couple of much-needed outs. Well, one hit in the air to right field. Pretty well struck. Carroll back towards the corner. Kind of zigzagging over. Gets to the spot on the warning track to make the catch. And the ball game is over. The Diamondbacks come to town. They take 2 out of 3, and they will leave happy after a 9-1 win here this afternoon.
He was really commanding. He had a really good life on his ball today. Threw the ball very well, but he also was throwing it where he wanted to. Secondary pitches were effective as well, but his fastball had real giddy up today, and he was able to throw it where he wanted. I didn't see Moreno having to move around a whole lot, so he made a lot of quality pitches with good stuff.
Sounds like cap tipping to me from the skipper, Mike Schilt. Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do? Some days you have to do that. Ryan Nelson typically is not the guy that you need to tip your cap to, but he was yesterday. And, you know, give him credit for coming in and absolutely dominating our beloved San Diego Padres, who managed to eke out 4 hits in yesterday's rubber match. You hate winning the first game of the season or the first game of the series in such a dramatic fashion, having to come back and win it. It was really special Friday night. We'll talk about Friday night's game, but you know, you got close on Saturday. Okay, fine. To come out yesterday and just get crushed 9-1 was that. Those are those games, those Sunday games where it's like, oh, cool. Now again, you almost understand it. If they win Friday night in dramatic fashion, they find a way to win that game on Saturday night, Paulie. You almost kind of get it. Hey, we won the series. We're going to, you know, get some guys off their feet. No, man, you needed to win that series yesterday. I mean, this is important games. Diamondback's still hanging around.
Division opponent.
They're still hanging at home.
You want to win that series.
Yeah, man. And you didn't. You got bodied yesterday. And, you know, I need to give a shout out to really the starting pitchers in this series. They all did their job, right? Nothing super spectacular, but everybody did their job. I mean, Vasquez went 6 1/3 on Friday night. Waldron had another quality start, 6 innings, 3-run ball from Matt Waldron. And Dylan Cease looked really, really good yesterday. Again, when you score one run, it's really hard to expect these guys to be perfect. Now, the bullpen really showed their ass in the series. They really did. They only had to throw 8 1/3 innings in this weekend series. Randy went 6, Waldron went 6, Cease went 7. You can't ask for more from your starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And they had been, you know, they had their turn on the chopping block as they had not been giving any length. They start to give length, the bullpen falters. They allowed 16 runs, Paulie, in the 8 1/3 innings that they threw. That ERA is 17-20. Daniel De Los Santos, it looks as lost as anybody I've ever seen. Gave up 5 earned runs in 1 2/3. Austin Davis gave up 4 in 1 inning of work. It's really, really tough. Now you go to a guy like Wandy Peralta. So he is a guy we gave a 4-year deal to. 32-year-old reliever. Kind of used him early on as like a setup man. But, Paulie, in his last 7 outings, his last 7 outings, he's got a 5.06 ERA. In his last 15, his ERA is 7.36. He's pitched only 11 innings in those last 15 appearances. It's really, really rough. Now, he made 63 appearances for the Yankees last year, 56 the year before. He's already appeared in 40 games. So is it overused? I'm telling you, when I watch the Padres play and I try to put myself in the skipper's shoes, it gives me heartburn, and I try to think, and you always see it on Twitter, oh, why would you go to him there? And it's like, well, who else? I mean, Robert Suarez cannot throw every single inning of high leverage that you need. Morejon has been pretty good. His ERA in his last 7 is 2.45, 2.93 in his last 15, 2.33 in his last 30. He's developed into somebody that you can use for high leverage. For some reason, though, they're really not willing to, Like, there was I think it was on Saturday night. He came out, threw like 12 pitches, got out of it, and then they didn't go to him again. I think they went to Wandy. We ended up losing the game.
Yeah.
But even Steven Kolek is pitching better. Yuki Matsui, he's been fine in low leverage. So, Jeremiah Estrada has been a bright spot. He's got a 2.45 in his last seven. Kolek's 3-0 with a 0 ERA in his last seven games. So, yeah. Some of those guys, they're just overworked. They're overtaxed right now and really ineffective. And that's not a good combination. So it was a really, really bad look for the bullpen this week. You got to get that thing on track. Hopefully, you know, by yesterday's game, when you look at the usage yesterday, you never, once you get down 4 or 5 runs, you're like, all right, well, this is Eniel's game and Austin Davis's game. You know, those guys are the only bullpen arms that pitched on Sunday. So you should have a fresh bullpen coming into the series against Seattle. But who's on the bump? It's Adam Mazur. What's he going to give you?
Allegedly.
Allegedly Adam Mazur.
Schultz said yesterday that they're still waiting to make an official announcement.
So that brings us to the other news of the weekend. And I want to... You know, he's obviously not listening, but, you know, I want to offer our support, love, condolences to starting pitcher Yu Darvish. We don't really know what's going on with Yu Darvish right now, other than he is on the restricted list. He had asked to be put on the restricted list because of a personal matter. I saw a lot of theories being floated around. I think it's irresponsible for us to speculate. I did see some speculation that kind of made my stomach turn, you know, from the usual suspect. And I just thought to myself, man, it just doesn't feel right to even think about anything. All I know, though, is what was the update in AC's newsletter this morning about it?
Kevin AC wrote in his daily newsletter, it's called Hoping for You, and he says, virtually everything the Padres say suggests they expect starting pitcher Yu Darvish to return this season. That may be more hope than expectation, because it is also said to be up to Darvish whether or not he comes off the restricted list, which he was placed on Saturday while he attends to a personal matter. But the team could know in a matter of weeks whether he is returning, as they would like to have clarity before the July 30th trade deadline about whether they will be paying him the rest of this season. Darvish is owed about $7 million for the rest of the season. Players on the injured list are not paid.
Okay, so
I don't know if that has to do with the restricted list as well.
So yeah, I mean, obviously, it's you have to talk about the business of baseball. Now, these guys are humans. Things go on in their personal life. I don't know what it is. I do know that Yu Darvish earned respect. He has earned benefit of the doubt, in my opinion. Would I love to have Yu Darvish back healthy 100% pitching like Yu Darvish? Of course. I'm a Padres fan. We need him. We want him. We love him. That being said, man, life does get in the way sometimes. And so whatever it is that he's going through right now, yeah, I mean, he does have a responsibility to let the Padres know, I can't come back this year. I'm not coming back. And that in and of itself, you know, that's okay. I think you just need to know so that you can adjust accordingly.
And that's fair for the Padres to want to know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's 100% fair for Darvish to, yeah. There's times where I get it. Fans, the fan base, they want transparency.
Sure.
They want to know every detail of everything going on with their favorite team. And I get that. But there are times, and this is one of those times, where we don't need to know. They have the paternity leave. That means that's telling you, the fan, hey, he's having a baby.
Having a baby.
He's going to be off for a couple. They have the leave for, is it grieving or what do they call it?
Hell is it?
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, grieving leave.
Grieving leave. You know, that, okay.
We just made that up.
Somebody died. They're going to be off for a couple of days dealing with some family stuff. We know that. That's all we need to know. When they put them on the restricted list and say, that's all we're saying, that's a personal matter, and it doesn't matter why he's gone.
Yeah.
Your only response should be thinking about him, man.
Yeah.
Hoping for the best.
Bereavement.
Hope he's okay.
The bereavement.
Bereavement.
List. Yes.
Thank
and you.
You
know what happens when you're on the bereavement list. So I just, Brandon asked in the chat, you know, does that money he's not being paid decrease the luxury tax? Could they have more flexibility? with spending at the trade? I think the answer is yes, based on what
Kevin
said.
AC said, yeah, Darvish is owed about $7 million for the rest of the season. The Padres have about $12 million in room under the first CBT threshold, which they have vowed to stay under to avoid a substantial penalty. This is not to say that they would commit anywhere close to $19 million if you factored in use 7 for any players they acquire, but they would need to add an additional starting pitcher beyond the one that they already seek if Darvish is not returning. Their preference is to have Darvish back, but knowing he won't would create them some options.
Yeah, they would have a little bit of flexibility there. Obviously, a roster spot, you know, that you could fill. Again, it's just you don't see many guys beating down the door ready to make their debuts and pitch meaningful innings for this team down the stretch. I'm so nervous about this team, and I think that's a justified feeling. I'm just nervous because when is the last time we have seen a team that has, I guess what you would call, this much magic so far this season? And again, I there's people rolling their eyes about saying a team that's 49 and 45 is magical, but if you've watched every game, bro, with the exception of a few games here and there, you feel like they're in it and they have a shot. And whatever is going on in the water at Petco Park and everywhere else that they play, there is magic on this team, and they are finally playing like a team. They are rooting for each other like a team. You don't get selfish vibes that you've seen before. We asked a question on the roundtable, you know, a month or so ago, and I think Ben asked the question, does this team need to prove something for AJ to go out and make moves? Now, AJ's always going to be active. He's always looking to improve the roster. You can love him. You can hate him. He's always actively looking to improve. Have they earned it? My answer is unequivocally yes. Yeah. They have earned a shot this year. This team, maybe more so than any team we've ever covered here. Is that a bold statement? I don't feel like it is.
No, I think that
they deserve a shot.
It's a little bit of both. It's partly because the National League is a dumpster fire.
It is a dumpster fire.
Padres, by the way, the hottest team in the National League.
Correct. One of three that are 6-4 in their last 10.
Right.
It's them, the Cardinals, and the Diamondbacks.
Those are the three hottest teams in the National League.
Everybody
right
else is 5-5 or 4-6.
Yeah, it's not good. But that's one factor. And then the Padres also are playing like they deserve to make a push and be in the playoffs.
I'm telling you.
I just hate the idea, though, of them getting into the dance and then just getting bodied because they don't have the arms.
The arms.
It happens every year. Every time the Padres have made the playoffs.
They deserve the right. They have played hard enough. They've played together enough. They've played well enough.
Like, even when the rotation's healthy, they haven't had enough arms.
Yep.
They're like three guys down right now.
At least, man. At least. So, holy smokes, man. A lot more to talk about. We got Sammy Levitt coming up at 7:35. We can talk more about this. We don't have Take on Woods today, but we will qualify someone. We'll just take your call. You want to shoot the breeze about the Padres, you can call us 833-288-0973. Let's hear from you guys.